Okay, okay, 101. So I guess I need to make this one. Well, reality knocks on the door now and then, reminding us. Another one of my old god brothers just left this world. The other day, and well, my health has been a bit weak lately, so I kind of missed the ceremonial functions. So I guess some may think I did this as an act of open disrespect or something. But so I just wanted to say here that I've got a different way of looking at things. I remember reading in one of those Tibetan books of the dead, I think it was, about I told that story here before, but I'll take it again. An older Tibetan monk, then Lama, who died, left his body surrounded by disciples and followers, and another elderly, I guess, of his age, his friend, probably, didn't attend that ceremonial function there, which they do when someone leaves. So they asked him afterwards, why? And he said, why should I? It's just a body there. And with the soul. At least that's the way I understood it, and that's the way I would say behave in situations when, I mean, like when my mother left this world and another old friend of mine, and I didn't have the opportunity. This always happens to me to be there with them at that time. So then I just had to sit down in my room in meditation, going inwards, which means really going into that subtle realm of the mind, the astral, the Bhuvarloka, that the Bhagavatam calls it, where we go when we leave this physical body. And also having learned from the Tibetan Book of the Dead that after leaving the body, a person stays around there, around that body in the room or in the house or in the neighborhood or whatever, for a certain time. I don't know, it was 41 days or something. And when you know that, then you can communicate with them. And that's what these ceremonies are for, to focus attention on that person. And then, you know, is there anything else you want to say? Or are we good now? No hard feelings, all that. Well, when this recently happened here, it was night, I didn't feel well, I was tired, so I kind of understood that, yes, there's kirtan downstairs. But rather than going down there, because that was too much for me at that time, I sat down in my sofa and I invited the Bose Prabhu, my old god brother, whatever he's called now, to, you know, be here with me for a while, and let's just talk like men. Yeah. And now we're good. We're fine. It's okay. Everything is, you know. Once God brother is always God brothers. And I mean, that's really how we, I mean, we are all Sankirtaners. And you know, you learn something out there among those Sankirtan guys. And you know, that's, and then what happens after that is like, I mean, it was a little bit like being in an army, I guess, but in a spiritual army. Because we were really out there on the streets, day after day, alone with these books. It was heavy. Year after year. So, yeah, I mean, I was one of us there in Denmark. Sankirtan leader there in Topaz, Sankirtan leader in Norway. Well, but then, you know, Swedes, Norwegians were sometimes more different than it seems, and so, yeah. I've got different ideas about things, so well, I guess agree to disagree or whatever. If I sometimes have sounded critical, it's mainly, just to be frank, because this building that we live in needs to be better taken care of. At the service of the Vaishnavas living here, who should be the ones living here. But we spoke about that too, and yes, they will be able person serving. As caretakers of this property, which is Krishna's property. It's what's left of ISKCON Stockholm, the Krishna Consciousness Movement, and the capital of Sweden, which is my hometown. And I know there are many here who are interested in Vaishnavism. But we Swedish people, just like I guess any people, are a little peculiar, and well, I recognized many actually to be quite philosophical. Doubts came up often. Well thought out, thought through, and they're thinking people. Sometimes we think too much, I think. But also that things should be in the open, transparent, at least where I come from, you know. We don't try to play with us, you know, what do you, cheating or this and that and pretending to be something you're not, or trying to use people for, I mean, here we have quite well-defined organizational structures for non-profit organizations and churches and things like that. And if you follow that, you will understand, rather than fighting against it, thinking these are these strange Swedish people, letting us Swedish people do it our way, and then more Swedish people will see, wow, yes, now they are doing it the good way, the real way, the way that will work, the way that I can also identify with and dare to even support and be connected to. Not some weird cult, but a very wise culture, you could say, of Gaudiya Vaishnavism, Vaishnavism and Bhakti tradition, and really Dharma, Sanatan Dharma. The universal religion, whatever you want to say, but not even a religion, just the worldview that we can live and live happily in. So anyway, I'm just saying all this in memory of, and I think about you guys almost daily, old God brothers who have passed over to the nicer side from this world, which is getting a bit bizarre nowadays. But yes, I mean, it's bright and nice to us, so let's hope it remains that. And the brightness, of course, starts there in our hearts. We who live, and then we will create a bright society to live in. So that's what we are doing here, and that's what the Sankirtan is about, and that's what the Gaudiya mission is about. And as Prabhupada said, I didn't come here to convert people into Hinduism, but just to make them happy. Remembering again their eternal loving relationship to God. And that's, I would say, what we need today, what the planet needs, what humanity needs. And we should not underestimate the importance of, for instance, the written word or the spoken word. What to speak of films, movies, just the fact that someone can sit like this and you can do so too and talk and make your channel, make your playlist here, whatever, if you're a Vaishnava in Sweden. So this is all I'm doing, and if you think I'm a bit remote, it's because I'm, well, I mean, a single half-time father of two boys, still working a job and writing a book, which is the one I should make. And making this podcast and other things that are coming around the bend. So, all you Prabhus who have not left the world, now you just got another one climbing over. And well, soon enough it's my turn, right? I mean, we're kind of realists at this age, aren't we? We don't, I mean, this is what we have been learning and teaching all our lives. As much of the knowledge there in the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam and so on, it's about learning how to die, or rather learn that there is no death. It's just a transformation, as Nina Hagen sang. So, things are happy. And if we are happy or not, depends on where our heart and mind and consciousness is, which also determines pretty much where we generally end up being, what environment, what neighborhood, what tribe we belong to. And that becomes our universe. So, again, to you youngsters, because I think you have to be old to understand this. The door is kind of over there. We can see it, basically. And, well, for me, and I'm just always thinking of Srila Prabhupada, he was the age I am now when he started ISKCON. But yeah, got so and so many years left. Let's see now what I can do for the Sankirtan mission. And some of us have stepped over to the other higher side. Maybe they're still there. Together with their relatives that we hear are there in Pitriloka. Caring for their children that are still on earth. So whether we are inside this earthly shell. We're outside looking in. We can help each other, cooperate, you know, share, support. I mean, that's what Vaishnava culture means, and this whole thing about Bhakti Yoga, Krishna consciousness, or ISKCON, or this or that group, is about that, not about group belonging and me good, you bad, all that. Just let that go. Look here, a devotee, another devotee, wow. Wonderful. And we are all actually devotees, some just forgot. So let's get out there on the street and dance and sing and remind everyone again about this. Hey, chant the name of God on the streets rather than walking around here waiting for the sound of guns and bombs, which seems to be a bit of the mood here these days, which I find strange, actually. Because it really seems that if you look up there on the top level of the world leaders, that no one really wants war. Yet, so many are throwing themselves into it because they think the other one wants it. It's like leaders leading the world today are just clowns and actors and completely incompetent in statesmanship. So it could go any direction. Either they just can't even get together into a good third world war. They don't know how to do it. They don't have money for it. Oh, they blow the whole world up. God forbid. Or many of us grow. I mean, I'm really talking grassroots now. And stand here down on the grassroots level shouting at them, stop this. And if we're still living in democracies, somewhat functional ones, then we can vote for others. We can do something. Let's actually put democracy into positive function here, not into some tool that some oligarchs or even people with fascist tendencies can take over. So, but again, this is what I am looking at these days. And again, I'm saying this just because I am convinced and get more and more convinced the more I work this direction and look at the world that this Krishna consciousness, this God consciousness movement, this Bhakti movement, this ISKCON, in our case, who were born into ISKCON movement, especially I would say that Srila Prabhupada created, because, wow, what a thing he did in that short time. It can, as he said one day there to his godbrother, Sridhar Swami, I think it was. I think this can take over the world, can really. And I think it meant be the world religion, it can lead the world in the sense of being the light, you know, what do you call it, furious, lighthouse, light, that can guide the world back to the light, yeah, to brighter dharmic civilization, whatever words you want to use for it. It's not about the words, it's about how people live and how we are together. So anyway, this is Sankirtan to me, and here we are, all Sankirtaners, some in this loka and others in another loka. And I just hope that you youngsters out there can find that inspiration and courage and determination to serve this Sankirtan movement. Not as a cult, but by understanding what it is really about, the universal truth and goodness in it. Because it's very bright, very beautiful, and remember, filled with love, which is all we need, right? So, therefore I wanted to take this opportunity to speak like this, because this is, I'm sure all these old Sankirtaners, all of you who hear this, whether you're listening from the other world or through this media or whatever, you would agree there that yes, this is what we were out there on the street fighting for. Sanatan Dharma. And I remember we were, you know, when I was out there talking 79, 80, we were walking there, just waiting for the war. We thought, you know, now is it going to come, the Third World War, be prepared, be prepared. And several times after that, we came back to it, thinking now it's going to break out. It never did. And I started wondering, what's going on here? And now also things are mystical. On one side, the empire of the world, they like to call themselves, there's all of a sudden a Vaishnava sitting on a high position. And the East is coming up, taking care of itself, giving help to other countries to take care of themselves, freeing themselves from the colonial, neo-colonial exploitation. So good things are happening, and the nice thing is that this Sankirtan mission is about that. And maybe most importantly, about how we are all a big family. Goddess, God up there. Different names, different cultures, different languages. But of course, same God for all of us. Same divinity. If you don't believe that, you're a polytheist. what you want, but up there in the divinity, one or many, things are bright and nice and loving and everything is fine. And that's where we actually are, but we just got a bit lost in our dreams here. So anyway, with those words, let me usher in a new era, which we like to call Sankirtan 2.0. And if you want to learn more about it, then, well, the link's down here, and I guess you'll find it here also.